John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Lots to get into this morning as Manchester United face a summer of transfer uncertainty. And Mark Goldbridge, me, will be almost defending Jason Wilcox. What's going on? April Fool's was yesterday. But sell to buy is coming out of the club again, and uncertainty is coming out of the club again, and a potential... Look, Let's get real. It could be a transfer heaven. It could be transfer hell. It could be a transfer crisis. But Jason Wilcox, as the international break draws to a close, hasn't really progressed anything because United are waiting on a lot of things. Will waiting cause Man United problems? Also, we've got to talk about Martinez. I've had this on my list for the last 2 days. I keep bloody forgetting. Martinez not actually back fit yet. If we had a match this weekend, which we should do, we're just not in the FA Cup, Martinez would not be fit. How many weeks has he been out? Also, Pochettino odds slashed on being the next Manchester United manager. And what's all this story about N'Jeyer that loads of people are running this morning? And it's just speculative. There is no talks with N'Jeyer. He's just not. There just isn't. It's just slow sports news. Let's throw a player out there. We'll give you the latest on that. And remember, Ben Jacobs spoke about N'Jeyer at the start of February, and that situation hasn't changed at all. So we'll talk about that. In fact, should we do that first? Because that's a little bit... a lot of people talking about that this morning, and we may as well just, you know, it's not really the number one thing I want to talk about. But look, this is what Ben Jacobs said on the United Stand in early February. N'Jeyer is somebody that we're hearing lots of links with, and I'm not aware of any Man United approach. The other thing about that type of player is that he likes versatility, so you can't really classify him as a left winger anyway. Also, Everton don't see themselves as a selling club. So all this N'Jeyer stuff coming out this morning, fantastic player. Very, very interesting. Truth of the matter is, I can do this. You can do this. Stiller is on the list for Manchester United. Let's make a video. He is on a list. João Gomez is on the list. But N'Jeyer will be on a list. But there are no transfer talks. There are no advanced talks. And you've got to be very careful about this because we're all so desperate for news that a story like that is shit. I'm not saying the story is shit. What I'm saying is getting excited about it is a waste of your energy. And when it ends up being nothing, you just get angry with the club. And as somebody who gets angry with the club a lot, you know, it's not a great feeling. But we're not in advanced talks with N'Jeyer. We're not in talks with N'Jeyer. We're not in talks with his agent. We're not in talks with Everton. He is just a player on the list that is admired. And, you know, to start going, oh, it's not the same as Anderson. It's not even the same as Tonali. It's not the same as Wharton. He is just a player on a list that United admire. But we're not in talks with him. And that's where we are with that. And United may or may not be looking at players like that. But I would say if we end up going for him, that's the sort of transfer crisis we're going to talk about over the next couple of minutes that United potentially face this summer. Because Semenyu was number one. Diamande is number two. If N'Jeyer becomes number three, what's that? What is that? And also, Everton wanted 70 million for Branthwaite 2 summers ago. What do you think they're going to want for their best player when they're potentially in Europe? And they're doing very well, Everton. And I also agree with what Ben Jacobs said as well. As much as he can play off the left wing, he's almost got Cunha vibes to him in the sense that I personally think he's like a number 10 who plays on the wing. Well, hello, we've already got somebody doing that at the moment. So I don't think he's the profile of what United are even looking for. And he will be more expensive than Diamande or the same price. So as much as I'm not going to say that United don't consider him a decent player, I think waking up this morning and getting excited about United signing him, I can't say it's wasted oxygen because I've just wasted 2 minutes of it. But there's a lot of people out there saying we're in talks, this, that, another. We're not in talks. He is on the list, but it's not advanced. He'd be third, fourth, or fifth choice. He'd be very expensive. And if we do go for him, it's an admission that we failed on getting the players that we want to get. So, but look, what I will say is I am a big fan of his. I do like him, but it's not... Where United are at the moment, as we move on to the potential summer that we're going to face, where United are at the moment is that I almost feel sorry for Jason Wilcox. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Oh, my God. I can't believe I've said that. But I do. I almost feel sorry for Jason Wilcox. Stefan says pure hatred for Carrick being the manager. Mate, you need to grow up. This is a high IQ community and you're low IQ. Get out. Get rid of him. Emily, have a word. But look, you know, the reality is we're not going to talk about Carrick at the moment. We're talking about the summer transfer window. And I almost feel sorry for Jason Wilcox because I think, like, you can blame Wilcox for wanting Liam Delap. You can blame Wilcox for keeping Ten Hag, giving him £300 million, sacking him, bringing Amorim in, giving him £200 million, sacking him. You can blame Wilcox for all of those things, but you can't blame Wilcox or Berarda for the fact that the club is owned by Ineos and the Glazers. And what I mean by that is they don't write the checks. They don't write the checks, right? They don't. They put proposals forward, and the Glazers notoriously have always been very slow. We've seen that. That's why we take 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks to do a transfer. And where we're at the moment, and this is numerous people have been talking about this, where we're at the moment is the international break is basically over. You know, the only reason we're not playing this weekend is because it's an FA Cup weekend. It's basically over. And United have done nothing in relation to the managerial position or transfers. There's been a lot of noise, but nothing has actually happened. We haven't held those talks with any managers. And we haven't held advanced talks with any players. We've circulated our interest in Tonali and Anderson, and we've circulated the prospect of giving Carrick the full-time job. But what have Man United done in this 2 weeks to actually further anything in a concrete way? And I'm not saying we haven't picked the phones up to agents, and I'm not saying we haven't held, you know, things, but you know, quantifiable, let's move forward on stuff, nothing. The Friday before the international break, Man City were in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. Now, Ben Jacobs told us last week that Man United put the legwork in, but that's not advanced talks. We haven't got a manager and we haven't spoken to a manager. Officially, we haven't spoken to a manager. The time that we had Ranić as an interim, we'd interviewed Pochettino and Ten Hag by this stage. So it's worrying. It's worrying what we're moving towards. There will be outcomes. There will be managers appointed. There will be players brought in. But at what level will they be brought in? Will they be plan A, option A, B, C, or will they option E, F, and G? And this is where I think sometimes you've got to be fair to Wilcox and say, look, he may be messing it up. I mean, God, it's not a bad prediction. But he may also be facing, I want to talk to this manager. Wait till the end of the season. Wait till the end of the season, because if we get Champions League football, there might be a cheap old deal with Carrick. He might be like, I don't want to do that. I actually want to, I don't even know that we should go with Carrick. Or what if it goes wrong with Carrick? You know, we need to have talks in place with managers. And he might be saying that. And they might be going, no, let's wait till the end of the season. You see what I mean? You can give it to Carrick if you want. But what if over the next 6 weeks, we play really shit and we haven't spoke to any managers? Like, you see what I mean? It's not, I think even if you're pro Carrick getting the job today, what if at the end of May, it doesn't look like a good choice? You've just wasted this international break. Also, what if Elliot Anderson signs for Man City? Where are we going then? What have we done with this international break? And that is where I do probably have a little bit of sympathy for Wilcox, because I don't know whether he's trying to do stuff and the club are saying wait, because the Glazer approach is wait. And I think Sir Jim Radcliffe basically does what the Glazers want. So I think that's a fair point. Why could it be a transfer crisis, and why is Wilcox's transfer plan exposed? So specifically on transfers, if we don't get Elliot Anderson, we are in trouble. If we don't get Diamande, we are in trouble. We're sort of in a position where we were with Semenyo in January, where we wanted to buy a player in January. They chose Man City and we just went, okay, we won't bother. And obviously, we can't not bother in the summer transfer window. But where do we go if we don't get Elliot Anderson? They don't want to. They don't want Tonali because he's more expensive than Anderson. So where would they go if they didn't get Anderson? Would they just write the check for Tonali, which is completely against what Ineos have been about in their lowering of costs and wages? Or would you just go for Belaba? So, you know, I think with regards to the transfer summer, there is a lack of activity on a summer that's very, very short. It's very, very short. The World Cup starts on like the 11th of June or something. Basically, from the 1st of June, they're in the World Cup squads. No messing about. No holiday. You're off to the World Cup, like, basically. You're off to the World Cup and see you in mid-July. And hello, a month later, the Premier League starts. So there is no move. There is no time to do stuff if you're not doing it now. And all we're getting out of United, if we're being completely honest, is the same thing we've been getting since the start of September. Elliot Anderson is the priority. And you know what? I just saw a great chat there. Even if we get Anderson, we're in trouble. And I almost think that you're not wrong. I'm talking about it like, if we don't get Elliot Anderson, where does the summer go? If we do get Elliot Anderson, where does the summer go? Like, what? One player is not going to change United, is it? And also, I think we've got Bruno Fernandes on the thumbnail. Let's not, as much as I'm hoping that Champions League football will be enough over Saudi money to keep him at Man United, because I can't see him. I love Bruno, but I don't think there's a club stupid enough to spend £55 million on a 31-year-old who's going to be 32 in September in Europe. I don't think Bayern Munich, PSG, Real Madrid, Barcelona, they're not going to write a cheque for £55 million for a 32-year-old. They're just not going to do it. Even though I think he'd massively improve them, they're not. And that goes in our favour. So what we're talking about here is Saudi and untold wealth or another year at United in the Champions League. And I think he will choose that. But there is that still. I mean, look, there is still that overarching possibility that if the summer transfer window isn't that great, Bruno might look at it and go, well, a year in the Champions League, struggling for Man United, or off to Saudi to make an extra year of money, he might actually just decide to go as well. So look, I think that we've said it many times before, there is this Luis Enrique, Tonali, Elliot Anderson, Diamande summer where we're massively excited, the share price boots up and, you know, we're going to win the league. And then there is this summer where it's, and I don't want to say Carrick, because I think he gets associated with negativity and that's not fair. But let's say it's Carrick, it's Belaba, it's God knows what else. And it's a very different summer to the one I've just mentioned there. So I think there is a transfer heaven and there is a transfer hell for Manchester United. And you've got to try and predict it as a fan. And I think that what I'm trying to say is, from some of the noises coming out of the club and some out of the journalists over the last few weeks, there's nothing quantifiable. And what I mean by that, though, is there's nothing definitive. There's nothing concrete. There is nothing that United have done in these 2 weeks that make you go, OK, we're interviewing that manager. OK, we're bringing in that. We've spoken to that. None of that has actually happened. And that, to me, is very disappointing. And do we blame Wilcox or do we blame the owners? And as I said, Jason Wilcox might be there going, I want to do this, I want to do that. He might not be. Some people would say he wouldn't be, but he might be, and he might be getting that resistance. Because I remember after the Bournemouth game, we said we need to be busy in this international break because it's almost like a mini transfer window. Have they been busy? No. No, they haven't. That, you know, they haven't. We don't know whether we're signing a left back. We're certainly not buying a right back. Diamande, where we were quite advanced, has basically slowed down. The midfield is still, we want Elliot Anderson. And the manager situation, which is probably the most important situation, if I was a betting person, the manager situation is, let's give it to Carrick. And that, ultimately, in the long term, I don't think it benefits Michael Carrick either. I think Michael Carrick being given the job without a process of interviewing managers makes him more exposed because it's incompetent from the board to do that. And it makes that incompetence tarnish Carrick. What I'm trying to say is, and I've said it a couple of times before, is that if I'm Michael Carrick and they interview three or four other managers and they give it me,
it makes me look better. If they give it to me without interviewing anybody else, it makes me look worse because they haven't run a proper process. So there is time, but there's also evidence that in the past, we have been a lot more advanced in this March international break when we've needed to have a big summer. And at the moment, it feels to me like United are waiting. They're waiting. I would say we are waiting. And snooze, you lose. I don't think in football you can wait. If you look at the football clubs that have been successful, you know, I know Liverpool have changed a little bit, but Liverpool could be linked with a player in the morning and holding up a shirt on the evening. Man City, Chelsea, don't mess about. United just seem to be very, very slow at the moment on very important issues. I mean, look, what I'm trying to say is, and I think this is a great point, we're Manchester United. If this was Manchester City and they'd sacked Pep in January and they needed an entire midfield rebuild and a left winger and a left back, do you think they'd be coming out of the March international break with no talks with managers and no real definitive talks with players? I don't think they would. I don't think they would. I think they would go, fucking hell, how do we get all that done in one summer? We need to start ticking stuff off because we're going to run out of time. Whereas I think United go, let's wait till the summer. And if it doesn't work out, we can just say we ran out of time like we did with midfielders. So I think at the moment, we're walking towards a very busy summer and the pace needs to pick up. And I'm very concerned that we're not interviewing managers. That's not transfer. Well, I suppose it could be transfer related because, as Andy Mitten said yesterday, a lot of players will want to know who the manager is next season. And look, I don't know how intelligent footballers are and football agents are, but if there's a very big difference between an experienced, proven manager and what we have at the moment. And I don't know whether footballers are intelligent enough to go, I like Michael Carrick. Man United have done quite well over the last few months, but there is a huge risk that this is going to go really bad at the start of next season and they're going to be sacking a manager and not performing. Do you walk into that? A lot of people are trying to say, why would you go to Man City when they haven't got Pep? Well, Pep Guardiola is a big loss. He's one of the greatest managers there's ever been. But it's still a rich club and it will still have a best-in-class manager. At Man United, why would you go to Man United? Well, because they've done really well over the last few weeks, results-wise. Yeah, playing one game a week with definitive, proven drop-off in, as we saw yesterday, we are not as intense as we were in December. What are we going to be like playing two games a week?
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's been proven that our intensity and pressing has dropped off gradually since January. What are we going to be like with two games a week? What are we going to be like with inexperienced coaches in the Champions League and trying to get top five? And what sort of summer transfer window are we going to have? So, you know, it's not like Pep leaving Man City is as bad as the situation could be at Manchester United. And I think that this is why a little bit of certainty. Look, I hope we're going to sign Elliot Anderson. I really, really do. But put yourself in his shoes. Unless you absolutely adore Man United, we're a big risk. We're a very big risk. Look at our last 10 years, Pogba, Sancho, all the players we've bought that were going to be the next Elliot Anderson. You know, well, I don't mean like that. Nobody was saying when Pogba was bought, he could be the next Elliot Anderson. But Elliot Anderson's going to be the next Pogba, isn't he? He's going to be the next Sancho. He's going to be the next Van der Beek. He's going to be the next player that we go, this is going to work out really well, and it never does. And I think that, to be honest, what are Man United trying to sell? What are we trying to sell? If we're here as fans going, what are we going to do in the summer? I can see an exciting summer. I can see a nightmare summer. If we're sat here as fans who consume and love this football club going, I've got no idea what's going to happen in the summer. And that's the point. Nobody has. No journalist, no player, no player that might sign for us. Nobody's got a bloody clue what United are going to do in the summer. And we're fans. How does a player sign for that? How do you sign for that project? How do you willingly go, that's a club I want to go and play for? Because you might fall for Wilcox, Berarda or Sir Jim going, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to have a great stadium and we want to win everything, including the Grand National. You might fall for that, but you might look at it and go, you've made these promises so many times and it hasn't worked out. I mean, 6 months ago, Sir Jim Radcliffe sat there talking about a project for the next 3 years and then sacked that manager 3 months later. So my concern is we don't offer big wages, so we can't even get people. And I think that's a good thing. I don't want players to come to Man United for money, mercenaries, because, you know, that doesn't work out. I don't mind paying good money for good players. I mean, I would happily give Erling Haaland 400 grand a week if he wanted to join Man United. So I don't mind paying the good wages for the right players, but we shouldn't be persuading people who are uncertain on money, because that hasn't worked out quite well. But we don't do that anymore anyway. We don't pay big wages. We don't necessarily have the ability to blow people out of the water on transfer fees. And we also have this total uncertainty about what we're actually selling. I think it would be very hard as a player talking to Man United at the moment to say, this is definitely the right move for me. And I think that's a challenge. I think that's the challenge that they seem to be failing as well. They seem to be failing on this at the moment. They don't seem to know. It's almost like they don't know what they're doing. It's almost like they're waiting for something. Maybe they are waiting to qualify for the Champions League in the hope that everyone will just go give it to Carrick and then they could go, yeah, give it to Carrick. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, you've probably got the answers as much as I have. What are we waiting for? Are all our eggs in the Anderson basket? And if he goes to Man City, we're basically screwed. Are all our eggs in the Carrick basket? And we hope that over the next few weeks, because we get Champions League football, more and more fans will agree with it and not be bothered about interviewing other people. I mean, maybe that's what they want to do. I mean, Brixter says they don't want us to know. That could mean one of two things. The plan is really terrifying and they don't want us to know and it's all spin. Or they're working on stuff we don't know about. Unfortunately, with Manchester United, there is absolutely very little chance that they're working on stuff that we don't know about, because United just can't keep anything quiet. If we held talks with Luis Enrique, we'd know. If we held talks with Nagelsmann, we would know. If we knew, you know, if we were in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson, we would know. So I don't think there's any secret things going on, because if you think about it, in football, there's no benefit for a player to keep a transfer talk quiet. If Man United were in talks with Tonali, it would be in Tonali's interest to let that be known that he's in talks with Man United, because then you get competition. And I actually don't think we're doing anything at the moment. And the question has to be, does this lead you to assume that this could be a bad window, or does it mean that United are waiting, which could also lead to a bad window? I just expected a little bit more on the front foot. And I think we are a football club that waits. It's a bit like, look, I mentioned it at the start. Sell to buy is still a thing at Man United, by the way. Like, sell to buy is still there. I'm very surprised that we haven't had the normal journalists talking sell to buy and challenges of FFP, because we're approaching April, and that is the time where we start to get the articles from you-know-who journalists who start to talk about FFP and sell to buy. And maybe we have got, you know, how long till we've got to wait until July the 1st again? How long until we've got to wait until the new financial year again? But sell to buy is definitely a thing for Man United. We owe £190 million in transfer fees. Sell to buy is very important. I wouldn't be surprised if Marcus Rashford becomes a really big story in relation to we don't do anything until Rashford's gone. Maybe we can't sign Diamande until Rashford's gone. We've got to move a left winger to bring a left winger in. United do operate like that, by the way. Look at Le Mans. I mean, he came in on transfer deadline day. We're all very, very happy about it. But what people forget about last summer is we didn't buy a midfielder. Everyone remembers that. But we also weren't going to buy a goalkeeper. We started the season with Onana and Binda. We weren't going to buy a goalkeeper. We were going to go through this season with Binda and Onana. Even though Amrin wanted him gone and wanted a goalkeeper, United, the board, decided we're not going to change the goalkeeper. And that's there. That's a fact. It was Amrin told Onana he didn't want him in March last year. And there was no takers. So United, in their sell to buy from the top, and to be fair, Wilcox knew that as well. Wilcox and Amrin were agreed Onana needed to go and they wanted a goalkeeper. But what happened is nobody wanted Onana. So the board were like, well, we're selling to buy. If you don't get rid of Onana, you don't get a goalkeeper. And it went all the way through to the end of August. We started the season. Onana was shit. Binda was shit. And the club realised we actually do need to get a goalkeeper in. So they brought Lemons in right on the last day of the transfer window. That is a warning for this summer. Sell to buy will still be there. As illogical as it might be, it will still be there. So look at that. We had the wrong goalkeepers, but you're not getting the right goalkeeper until you get rid of them. So someone like Rashford could stop a Diamande deal because it's like, until he goes, we're not sanctioning a replacement. And this is what I mean about United. Until that mentality changes, we're always going to make it very difficult for the manager, the fans and the director of football. Because in fairness, the director of football might be like, I think we can get this Diamande deal done in April. And the club might be, we're not doing that deal until we move Rashford on. And that's what sell to buy is. And United have always been like that under the Glazers and under Ineos. You know, remember McTominay the year before? We didn't get Ugarte until McTominay had gone. And we needed Ugarte for pre-season and we needed Lemons for pre-season, but we didn't get them until we'd moved the player on. And that's how Man United do operate. They do operate like that. And it can be a concern. I've got to catch up on some of your comments. Also want to talk about Martinez and this Pochettino story this morning. Remember, we have got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock today, which I'm very much looking forward to because I've got a load of questions for him as well. I really want to understand a few things about where United are around the manager, around Tonali and Anderson. So don't miss that at 2 o'clock today. I know a lot of you might be preparing to wind down for Easter weekend, but we've got you covered on the United Stand. In fact, I'm starting a series over Easter, which I think you'll really like. First one should be out either tomorrow or today. I've just completely hit the wrong button here and I've lost my live chat. Bear with me. I clicked on the wrong thing there. Let's sing a song while I'm doing this. Not Agadu. We'll keep that for when we're in the Champions League. Here we go. Coming back. Well, just while this is a loading, we'll do the super chats because otherwise we're going to get all over the place. Sell to buy or invest to be the best t-shirts, Mark, says Vincent Weasley. Sell to buy or invest to be the best t-shirts, Mark. That's gone right over my head, Vincent, but thanks very much for your super chat. Rory C says, if Enrique and Nagelsmann are not feasible for whatever reason, who would your third choice manager be? Maybe Emery. I like this question, Rory, because somebody asked me the other day, at what point do you want Carrick? And I said, what people don't understand is because they live in a world of yes and no and nothing in between is that there is context to most things I discuss. I don't do agenda. I do context. So if Luke Shaw starts playing really, really well, like he did 3 years ago, I would say fair play. We've got Luke Shaw back. It won't happen, but, you know, I would say that. I don't have an agenda. So in relation to Michael Carrick, what a player. Misused by England. Incredible player for Man United, the conductor. I loved Carrick as a Man United player. And I think he's probably got, hopefully, a decent future in management. I'm not convinced it's like Man United, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool level. I think it might be more Crystal Palace, maybe even Championship level. I don't know. But look, I hope it's Man United level. But my issue with Carrick is not Michael Carrick. It's the fact that the style of football is problematic to me. I just don't like it. I don't think it's very good. I think it's very similar to Southgate England and Ollie. And I'm not surprised by that because Carrick was Ollie's assistant and Steve Holland was Southgate's assistant. So I don't like the style of football that we're playing. But more important than that, it's an interim. It's an interim again. It's a guy that's come in to steady the ship and done really well, who we're now going to say rebuild the football club. And they're two very different jobs. That's like getting somebody to come into your house and, you know, clean your carpets and then on the way out saying, you know, move in. You've done a great job on the carpets. Move in with us and stay for Christmas. And it's like, it's not like that, but it is in a way. It's like the job he's done was to come in, steady the ship, and then prepare us for the summer. And then we go, now you can build the club. And I'm like, that to me, if you go through history, interim managers, I think it's something like over 75% of them fail in the first year if they get the job. And that to me is not best in class. So if it can't be Enrique and it can't be Nagelsmann, I think it would be, there's still loads I'd go for. There's loads. I still like Simeone. I still like Conte. I do like Emery. I mean, these are all top class managers. And there's probably a load more as well. I mean, people go, not Simeone, not Emery, not Conte. And I go, but I would take all of those over Carrick. I definitely would. 100%. Because they're all proven, experienced managers. And I think United need that. Whether they fit with this board, Simeone, Conte, Emery probably don't. The only one that maybe does is Nagelsmann. And he wants the job. He wants the job. Rajaf says, what's your thoughts on the choice of actor playing Snape? Oh, yeah, because that's a great topic for the United Stand. GCPE says, I fear that if City get Tonali early before the World Cup, we could lose Aaron Anderson as well, as he might see City as the better project, leaving us with nothing. That's how I would go for Tonali overall. I mean, I think that's a fair point. I think Man City could easily get Tonali and Anderson. There is this belief in our fan base that if they get Tonali, we'll get Anderson, or if they go for Anderson, we'll get Tonali. They can get both. And also there is a very real scenario, and this is not United related. This is talking to somebody quite close to a different situation. There is the scenario where Tonali goes to Arsenal and Anderson goes to Man City. So don't disclude Arsenal. Amit says, can see a big mug up in the transfer window next season. Thank you very much for that. Biggest red flag about the summer plan is Maguire extensions to Stretford Signal. I see what you mean. Yeah, I think the Maguire, you can definitely look at the Maguire transfer and go, that is a choice between keeping a player that is going to get older, slower and more injured for £100,000 a week over buying a player that's going to give you a future and be better for 50 million. And that could happen with Ugarte as well. What if the third midfielder we all want is just keeping Ugarte because it's cheap? And you're right, the Maguire extension. Somebody said to me about 2 weeks ago, I think they would have kept Casemiro if he had another year left on his contract. Hold that thought. They would have kept Casemiro if he had another year on the contract. So we'd have bought one midfielder instead of two. Now, I think that's what Stretford Signal is saying. We want this football club to be what we know it needs to be, but it's run by people who look at Excel spreadsheets. Now, Casemiro for another year and one midfielder this summer would be criminal. Casemiro, another year in the Champions League and the Premier League and one midfielder. But the only reason he's going is because he has the freedom to go. I think United would have kept him if he'd had another contract. Caroline in the chat. Hi, if you were the manager, who would you have on your team, Mark? I think I've just covered that. Who would I have in my team if I was the manager? In this transfer market, I think you've got to try and get Tonali and Anderson. I do agree with Diamande on the wing. And at left back, you've got to go and get a Lewis Hall or a Truffert or a Matson. You've got to go and get a really good Premier League left back. And there are some out there. And I also think we should be looking at a right back as well. We've seen with this leadership at the club, they can't multitask, says Pengers. Last summer, we could only negotiate with one and get one player at the time. Can't buy elite talent if you can't act early. And also, that works for sales as well. So if you go back to Rashford, sell to buy on Rashford. Let's say we can't get a winger until we move Rashford on, and Barcelona say we're not paying the 25 million, and Rashford says, I want to go to Barcelona. And United go, we want the 25 million. And then we end up loaning him to Barcelona at the end of August. How has that impacted the left winger? What do you think about Lewis Skelly? I don't rate him, mate. Somebody did a compilation of Lewis Skelly playing for England under 21s and said, sign him. And I was like, I'm not responding, although I literally am now. I don't respect international football as a way to scout players. I've said this for years. I enjoy the World Cup. I enjoy the Euros. It is not a place to scout players. The speed and tactics of international football are nowhere near the Champions League or the Premier League, because you're looking at a bunch of players who get thrown together for a couple of weeks. They don't have the time to work on speed, intensity and patterns. It's literally throw a load of players together and see how they do. And as an experiment, it makes the World Cup and the Euros really interesting. But you do not get the intensity and quality of what you get in domestic football. So why the fuck would I be scouting a player in the under 21s?
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
If he gets it after a process, are we all on board, says Robert McCormack. I think this is a great quote. So what you're basically saying, if Michael Carrick gets the Man United job when they've interviewed other managers such as Nagelsmann, are we on board? Yes. Robert's just probably asked the best question I've been asked of the year about Carrick. If Carrick is interviewed as part of a process with three or four other managers and he gets the job, am I on board? Yes, with a star next to it. The reason I'm on board is I will back him in that situation. I will back him because it's a fair and proper process. But I will say, depending on who the other candidates were, if it goes wrong, it's on the board. I wouldn't pick Carrick if we interviewed Nagelsmann. But if he is interviewed with those people and the club choose him, it's not on Carrick. It's on the board. So I would back him. Probably wouldn't be my pick, but I would back him and I'd blame the board if it went wrong. But I'd blame the board even more if they give it without process, because I think that's even worse. But look, you can't be... I don't agree with being player out, manager out in any circumstance straight away. I mean, even if you're dead against it, you've got to give him a chance. I didn't want David Moyes and I gave him a chance. I didn't really want Lukaku and I gave him a chance. You've got to give him a chance. But I agree. I think it's a good question, Robert, because having said that, if they ever gave Southgate the job, I'd definitely be Southgate out from minute one. Should be no reason to not get 7 or 8 transfers in, says Ryan. Do you believe Ineos can deliver with good signings, says Rajaf? No, I don't. But that's too depressing to talk about. I mean, what I'm basically saying is I don't see a way back, no matter what they do. And that's no good for anybody. Andre Gomez says, good morning, Mark. Wanted to ask, what would the realistic summer transfer window be? I don't know. I've got no idea. What I would say is we're not moving quick enough. We seem to be sat waiting, and I'm very concerned about sell to buy and, you know, taking our time and losing out. If you look at the summer transfer window last year, The positives were Cunha and Mbeumo because we worked on them very early. The negatives, well, even though we worked on Mbeumo early, we didn't sign him until mid-July, but Cunha and Mbeumo got locked in very, very quickly. Sesko was fifth or sixth choice striker. We didn't get a midfielder, and the goalkeeper came in on transfer deadline day because we didn't want a goalkeeper, but the two they were going to go with were shit. So if you look at the positives, if I was Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I'd go, what worked well last year was Cunha and Mbeumo because we got into it early. What didn't work well was having to go for a goalkeeper very late in the window, not getting a midfielder and getting our fifth choice striker. And I'm not saying Sesko's bad. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, as a window, how would you do it better? You'd want Sesko in earlier. You'd want Lemons in earlier. And you'd want a midfielder in. So what are we doing again? Seems to me we're ignoring the Cunha and Mbeumo bit, which was good, and following the other path of going, let's wait and see. And the wait and see stuff is where we go wrong. Patrick Lynch with the Super Chat says, one of Ineos's tent poles when taking part ownership was to have elite player recruitment. This will be their third summer, and yet we feel as fly by night as ever. It should be streamlined by now. What was the Brailsford review that he did? I don't know what he did. If we assume Tonali's out the picture and Anderson Mainoo in a double pivot is weak, who would you go for as the Casemiro replacement, says Andron? I think this is the big thing. I think, you know, you've got to get very imaginative there because I don't know that Anderson and Mainoo is the right way to go. I sent a chat a couple of weeks ago regarding how anyone could expect these clowns doing what is needed to take United back towards the top. It's a mess, says Jason C. Emily Derry says, these owners don't learn, and worse, they don't want to. We actually seem to be getting worse, slower, less direction, still operating based on a spreadsheet and spin rather than anything of substance, says Emily. Thank you very much. Well, somebody made a great point. You know, you say we haven't spoken to any managers, but Pep's meant to be leaving in Man City. Who are they speaking to? You do make a great point, but Manchester City's situation is very different. They can't publicly interview managers in March when they're trying to win the title. And also, Pep might not go. So Man City are managing that really, really well. Because if Pep goes at the end of May, I guarantee the manager they're bringing in will be in early June. I guarantee Man City know their manager already if Pep goes. At Man United, we've not even interviewed anybody. The only manager we know we're going for is Carrick. There is no noise around anybody at the moment at all, apart from Pochettino, we'll talk in a minute. Good night, United Stand. It's 4 a.m. in Dallas, says JT. Hope you're doing well, pal. Wilcox's plan B or C seems like normal people's plan A, says Max Loves Cookies. Why do I feel we're going to be Spurs next season, says Abri. No. We won't be Spurs next year. Keel Robinson says we could be Spurs next year. We will get Belaba, Lewis Skelly, and Didi and Gomez. Oh my God, Keel. That sounds like an Everton transfer window, that does. Good morning, Mark and United Stand. Hope you're doing well, mate, says Daniel Thompson. And genuinely waiting for Goldbridge to blame Wilcox for global warming, COVID, and the Iran war, says Trap. Yeah, you didn't watch the video, did you? You just didn't watch the video at all. We'll leave you there. Which one do you choose, Mark? Sign players first or manager first? Says Amit. You should never be rigid and tunnel visioned in what you're trying to predict. In an ideal world, I would want a really good manager in place to work on the transfers. But that's not always achievable. What if the manager you want cannot announce his intentions till the end of the season because it would derail where he is at the moment? I mean, look, there is a fantasy that the manager is someone like Simeone or Enrique or, you know, someone who's in a job who can't literally announce anything at the moment. That would be the fantasy. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be the fantasy. And they're having private conversations about players with the club. So look, I'd like the manager first, but it's not always doable. Emily Derry says, the situation at United has been static since Amrim left. Problems are piling up and we weren't going to solve them all anyway. The owners take some of the blame, but what has Wilcox actually done? There we go. Fair point. If not a decent manager, Mark, we believe in you, mate, says Amit. And how to get Man United back to the top? Step one, sack the owners, says Tamil. And thank you very much for that. OK, I want to talk to you about Martinez. We're running out of time this morning, and I keep... no word of a lie, Martinez has been written down with exclamation marks next to it on my notes to talk about for the last 2 days. And we always get sidetracked on other stuff, which is good in a way. Martinez, the latest with Martinez is that he's not actually match fit. Fortunately, we don't have a Premier League game this weekend. He is back training on the grass, but he's not match fit. So this injury that was meant to be only a week has turned into definitely 2 months. Like, I'm pretty sure he got injured at the start of February. So should we be concerned about Martinez? No is the answer, because I'm a big fan of Martinez. What I'm not a big fan of is the club's inability to actually communicate with the most important people, which is you. Like, we're constantly kept in the dark, like they're better than us. Oh, don't let them know. They don't need to know. Football is an entertainment sport and it matters a lot. If a player is out for 2 months, let us know he's out for 2 months. Why do we always, and this has been going on for a couple of years at United, we used to, and a lot of clubs do, say, I mean, with Dorgu, we did it. We said it's going to be 3 months and it's going to be 3 months. But 90% of the time, we don't put it out there. And if you look at other clubs, they do. We're not good enough as a football club for it to be an advantage not to tell rivals. Well, we don't tell the fans because we don't run rivals. So we're not good enough for it to matter. If we had a Champions League final coming up in 2 weeks and Martinez does his calf, I understand you going, there's a good chance he'll be back, even if you know he's going to be out for 2 months. But we've been doing this for ages and we've been shit for ages. We don't tell the truth about injuries. Mason Mount's one, they do it with all the time. Oh, it's just a little knock. Yeah, he's out for half the season. But with Martinez, it was a little knock and he's ended up being out for 2 months and he still couldn't play this weekend if we had a match. Now, he might get back for Leeds because Leeds is still, what, a week and a half away? But if he misses that Leeds game through match fitness, that becomes over 2 months. So it doesn't mean we need to get rid of Martinez. It just means we need to be a little bit more honest, because where the club mess up all the time is they frustrate this fan base that's already low on patience with incompetence and poor communication. We're all mature enough to go, if Martinez is out for 2 months, he's out for 2 months. What causes people to start going, I think we should get rid of Martinez, is that they expect him back after 2 weeks, and then they expect him back after 2 weeks, and it ends up being, oh, he's still out, he's still out, he's still out. And it's like a new injury every time, because people are like, I thought he'd be back by now. I wouldn't get rid of Martinez. I think he's a really important player for us, but what's the situation with De Ligt as well? We just get this, he's not quite there yet. You know, he's not quite there yet. And it's like, what's the problem with telling us Martinez? I mean, I remember listening to Carrick in a press conference, and I remember a certain journalist in the first 2 weeks of Martinez's injury saying it's not as bad as we thought, or it's just a knock. Nearly 2 months later from those statements, he's still out. So I would say 2 months out is not a knock. So what was the prognosis? What was the injury? And why didn't you just put it out there? Because it's clearly quite significant. It's clearly quite significant. And I think this goes back to, I have a theory, our fitness department's crap. And it has been crap for a long time. And it hasn't changed. But I think there's been a bit of PR around our fitness department that they try to, and, you know, obviously it runs through the club into the manager. I think we do not tell what the injuries are to try and mask the fact that the fitness department still is shit. So basically you just make out it's just a knock, it's nothing serious, even if you know it's something that it is. Because if you admitted what it was, people would go, well, this player's got this. Oh, the fitness department again. I think it's just a little bit of spin from the club around protecting the fitness department, which has been poor for many years. But look, I wouldn't get rid of Martinez. No, I think he's a very important... I think, you know, looking at the way we've played in the last 2 months, let's not forget, a lot of the bad performances have been without Martinez in the team. So I think Martinez in the team probably makes us a better team as well. I don't think he's going to I've had, look, I have got no prediction on this. He's had two very bad injuries. He's come back and then he's had a very big muscular injury. It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon to pick up secondary injuries after a major injury. The key will be, and in a way, we'll get to observe this, the key will be his involvement in the World Cup, because he's obviously going to come back for us in the next few weeks, which means he'll come back for us for the rest of the season. He's then going to go into a World Cup. If Martinez can get back for us, finish the season, go to the World Cup, stay fit, and come back for pre-season and stay fit, I think we're okay. I think the next 3 months for Martinez are going to be really crucial. Can he get back from this injury, stay fit, go to the World Cup and come back fit for the pre-season? I think if he picks another injury up in the next 4 months, you do start to go, has he become injury prone? And it can happen. It can happen. He's in his late 20s. He's had two significant injuries. Has that caused wear and tear on his body that he's always going to keep picking up injuries now? But some people like Van Dijk can have a really bad injury and they come back and, all right, they might not be slightly the same player, but they still can stay fit. So I think let's see what happens with Martinez over the next 3 months. There are at least three Amits in the chat, says Amit. Okay. Marlow United says, name one talent that reached its potential at United in the last decade. Look at Mainoo and Garner. One left United and the progression has been much better. The culture is still a big problem. Well, I don't think we've developed a player in a very long time, Marlow. And I also think that when you look at Jude Bellingham as well, he chose Dortmund over Man United. Would he be the player he is today playing for Real Madrid if he'd come to Manchester United? And I don't think we would have developed him. And I think we're not very good at developing player. Just the Premier League key match incidents panel has ruled that both the referee and the VAR were correct not to award a penalty to Ahmad in the draw at Bournemouth last month. Let's not get angry. Let's not go back. You know, let's not go back. We shouldn't be relying on the PGMOL for anything anyway. Should Henderson, Tonali, Mainoo isn't good enough? Should be Henderson, Tonali, Mainoo isn't good enough, says Madge. Not what? What? The Jordan Henderson? God, no. No. What's the story about Pochettino, Mark? So, story coming out today that Maurizio Pochettino is in the race for Man United job despite the presence of Carrick. So, look, the manager situation for me doesn't become interesting until... I mean, would I take Pochettino over Carrick? I think Pochettino is a better coach than Carrick. I mean, I'd be much happier if it was Simeone, Nagelsmann, Emery, Conte, Enrique. There's something about Pochettino where I think he's been so close to getting the United job a few times. I wouldn't mind Pochettino. I mean, look, if all those managers I've just mentioned aren't available and it's Pochettino or Carrick, I think I would go Pochettino. He is experienced. He is a good coach. I think the media in this country like him as well. I think that's important. I think I would go Pochettino over Carrick. I prefer his style of football. But I understand that would be close. But I think I would go Pochettino, yeah. Yeah, I think I would. I think he ticks a lot of the things I want. I want an experienced coach who plays good football, who knows what he's doing in the Champions League and in the Premier League, and will demand respect. And I think he's got a good relationship with the media in this country. I think he'd do. I think he'd get on quite well under this structure as well. Yeah, I think I would go. I think I would take Pochettino over Carrick. It's not my dream. Appointment at all, but yeah, I think I would take Pochettino. Anyway, I wanted Pochettino when we got Ten Hag, says Robert. I think Pochettino's got a lot of disrespect in the game at the moment, but in the actual game, in the industry, he's very respected and he's very well liked and he's a decent coach. He did okay at Chelsea, didn't he, as well? I think with Chelsea, he just fell out with the board. People forget that Chelsea was doing okay. I think he left Chelsea in a good... I'm pretty sure at Chelsea he did do well. He got them into the Champions League and then he fell out with the board. He got Spurs to a Champions League final. PSG didn't go that well, but loads of people failed at PSG. I think his reputation has been somewhat tarnished in an unfair way because I think I'd have to do some research on it. But Nick P says there's a magic around Pochettino. I said it two ships ago. Well, I know in January, Pochettino was someone that United were really interested. I don't mind Pochettino. I think he's definitely a name that if we interviewed him, I'd have to do a little bit more research on him. But I wouldn't mind Pochettino. I mean, I'd take Pochettino over bloody Glasner or Iriola or someone like that. Will Grimaldo be a left back for Man United? Too old, Ashy. He's too old. Definitely. Yeah, I don't mind Pochettino. I don't think we'll do it, but I don't mind Pochettino. I've got my Gold Devils top on today, by the way. Don't think anyone's noticed. I don't know why I did that. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We have got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock, which I'm very excited for. Don't miss that. Great show this morning. Really enjoyed it, actually. We filled a whole hour, which is great. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you smash a like on the video. Get your comments in below. I'll speak to you in a bit. Michael Coleman says, what has Pochettino won? I don't think it's about what they've won, mate. I don't think we're going to get... I mean, what's Michael Carrick won? What had Ollie won? You know, Ten Hag and Amorim, all right, they'd won the Dutch League and the Portuguese League. I don't think it's about necessarily what you've won. I don't think we're going to find that manager unless we go for Luis Enrique or Nagelsmann. But I don't mind Pochettino, I've got to be honest. It's the sort of manager we should be interviewing, definitely. I wouldn't mind interviewing him, yeah. Take care, stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.